All right, it's now time for episode 4 of our Hard Knocks / One Jets Drive. That's really just a Hard Knocks recap. It is me, Blakey Locks, and the Jetstream guys, Jesse and Connor. Guys, what's going on?
Feeling good?
Just moved. Enjoying my new place.
Congratulations.
You live like, what, 5 blocks away from me now?
I'm between 5th and 6th now. It's nice.
You're kind of like getting a little closer every like year or so to where I live.
Inching closer.
Yeah, as we get older, we move further and further away from the path station.
That's the goal.
Yeah,
if you're going to live in Hoboken, that's the goal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just be as far from there as possible.
But it was a big 100%. Week. In Jets world, we unfortunately didn't have an episode last week. All kinds of crazy scheduling from all three of us. Couldn't make it work, but so we have lots to talk about, so we can just kind of get right into it. Obviously, the way we've been doing these recaps is kind of going through the episode, but the main story here is going to be the stuff from the Jets-Giants game. There was a lot of content that came out of it, both on Hard Knocks and just in real life. And since then we've had cut day, we've had a lot of stuff go on. So, we got tons to talk about and stuff that we didn't get to talk about, from last week. That's kind of a continuing storyline, but, the way we've kind of started it every time is just big picture episode 4 of Hard Knocks. What did we think? Connor, go ahead.
I thought it was great. It was definitely one of the better, I mean, your sample size for a show like Hard Knocks is not like massive considering it's only a few episodes, but definitely was one of the better ones. I think, like you said, I think anytime you get to watch the Jets and Giants play one another, it doesn't matter if it's preseason. But like now when the teams are like kind of, I think especially with the Jets, have a lot of hype behind them, that game did feel a little different, especially because the Jets starters were in. It was the first time that we'd seen Aaron Rodgers play. The first time we'd seen him play, like, you know, throwing the ball to Garrett Wilson in a real scenario. Granted, it was against the Giants backups, but was still obviously very exciting to see it play out, you know, us watching the games live. I don't know where you guys were watching them, but, or Blake, you and I kind of talked about it a little bit already, but, I was with a couple Giants fans. So kind of like talking shit with them, about it. And then, and seeing that on Hard Knocks, even just seeing like behind the scenes stuff from any game, regardless of what the game is always cool. But this kind of felt a little different and was a lot more exciting to watch.
Mm-hmm. Jesse,
I really enjoyed this episode as well. I think that was the general consensus across all Jets fans. Everyone really, really enjoyed this episode, and it just because it had a lot of different things that we all wanted to see, and we finally got to see. We saw Aaron Rodgers play in a game, and all the lead up to that. We saw a lot of the younger guys, which I liked a lot. Seeing Xavier Gibson and Jason Brownlee and their relationship. I didn't know that they had a relationship going back even before they were signed by the Jets. So that was cool. And then, I don't know, I really enjoyed seeing Tanzel Smart get a little bit more. So, I mean, I don't want to get, you know, jump the gun too much, but it just overall, there were a lot of things that we got to see that I was waiting to see. And it was like the, you know, the UFAs and those types of guys. I love that stuff about Hard Knocks.
Yeah, we've kind of talked about how so far it has been a bit of the Aaron Rodgers show, which I don't think Jets fans mind too much because, like, we really can't get enough of the Aaron Rodgers content right now. But this seemed like more of a traditional Hard Knocks episode where you're getting the rookies, you're getting guys like seen at Tanzel Smart's house, like guys like at somebody's house, like off way, like, a lot of the stuff has been at the facility. Like there hasn't been a lot of stuff like off the field. So there's been more stuff like that. And yeah, it's showing some of the young guys and then really good game action. And we can get into some of the stuff that was more like the stuff that we saw on Hard Knocks, but just from the game, watching the actual game, I was at a bar. I'd been at a bar since like 2 o'clock. to celebrate the return of college football, went to the bar to watch the Notre Dame Navy game. And then like right when it ended is when the Jets game was starting. So we were just kind of like, we might as well just stay and watch the Jets game. And so I, to be fair, I'd had a few drinks by that point. But the when Aaron Rodgers threw the touchdown pass to Garrett Wilson, also there were like nine people in the bar we were in, probably. He throws this touchdown pass, and I was with my buddy who's also a Jets fan. I jump off my bar stool and start like pumping my fist in the air, and he jumps out of his chair, and we like hug each other, and it's just like disbelief that it's like it. There have been multiple moments where I'm like, oh, this is real. Like the team flies out to meet with him in California. Oh, this is real. Like on he goes on McAfee and says, I intend to play with the Jets. Like, oh my God, this is real. He signs the contract. He's on the practice field. Like all these moments that were like, oh, it's real. But watching him in a Jets uniform throw a touchdown pass to Garrett Wilson, which was not just a normal touchdown pass, it was a ridiculously gorgeous throw and a beautiful catch, just made it like, oh, like I, it was like a whole nother level of this is real. The next time we see this happening, it's going to be a real football game.
In that same vein, what makes it like it isn't just a normal football pass, but at the same time it is, because that's just what he does, and that's what makes it like so incredible. Like that's what, like, it still hasn't hit me yet either, really. Like he makes that look routine. Like that's what we've been seeing him do that sort of thing forever, and now he's like actually on the Jets, and it's I'm 100% with you. Like just seeing that play unfold and it being New York on the chest instead of Green Bay is just surreal, and I can't wait for these touchdown passes to count
for real. And I was at my fantasy football drafts for like the league that with all my, like, you know, my friends and stuff that we've been in for, I don't know, 13 years, probably 12, 13 years. And I'm the only Jet fan of the group, a couple Giants fans, Dolphins fan. Like we're kind of like all over the spectrum in terms of fan bases. So naturally they're all talking shit like the entire time Rodgers is in there. And of course, what was it? It was the first drive when they chased him out of the pocket and he kind of like fell over and threw the ball out. So naturally they're all laughing and stuff like that and laughing at my expense. I was glad to see that he wasn't hurt, because I'm sure you two did as well. I had a flashback looking at remembering Zach in the preseason game last year that kind of happened on a very similar play of him getting hurt. So I was just glad to see that. And the next drive, he just goes right down the field and does touchdown. So like, but then again, I also can't react in like a super positive way, because to them, it's against backups. And I'm also trying to celebrate a Jet touchdown. So I'm just like kind of running around. I went inside for a second. I had myself like a good fist pump. I couldn't do like anything like over enthusiastically without getting shit on by my friends. But I think we were all in the same boat as far as being incredibly excited by that.
We'll have plenty more real touchdowns to celebrate that you don't have to feel guilty about celebrating.
Hopefully against the Giants and hopefully against the Dolphins. Plenty of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully against the Bills in 10 days.
Oof.
Or 11 days.
Yeah.
12 days. Whatever. Monday night. But we can kind of run through the episode a little bit, and then some of the stuff we'll definitely want to talk more about. But the very first scene of the episode was kind of a callback to the episode before, where Zach Wilson's putting on his headband. And the previous week we had seen Rodgers kind of like busting his balls about like, why do you wear the headband? And Zach said it kept sweat out of his eyes. And Zach was like, people were making fun of me for the headband. They were making fun of you for wearing wired headphones. And this was our first real Aaron Rodgers, like, oh yeah, I forgot he's kind of nuts moment, where he said that AirPods or like Bluetooth headphones give you harmful EMF emissions, which is why he uses wired headphones. which was the first real Aaron Rodgers, like, oh yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, I completely
about this
forgot
side of Aaron Rodgers that uses wired headphones. I know some people are like, oh yeah, I just have them, never stopped using them, don't like the way AirPods feel. He's like, no, harmful EMF emissions is why I'm sticking to the wired headphones.
Connor, I appreciate you standing with our quarterback.
Well, I do use them actually to, you know, listen to music on my phone and stuff like that, but that's only because I stepped on one of my AirPods and broke it. If I still had it, I'd probably still be using the AirPods. But Jesse, I'm gonna, now that you said that,
I'm standing
with
Aaron.
Yeah,
run with it.
Standing with Aaron now.
So that was a very funny Aaron Rodgers moment. But then we saw, which we've talked about a little bit, that we didn't see in the first episode of Hard Knocks. And then we saw in the second episode, which we all thought was cool to see, which is kind of the not like, oh, everything's perfect with Aaron Rodgers side of things, other than just conspiracy theories. It was just some shots at practice where a couple guys like ran the wrong route. There was a false start penalty. And you could just see he started to get really pissed, like chewing guys out. And it's, you kind of, like, for me, it's something that I like to see because it's like we've obviously seen the good side. It's not like we think he's like this all the time. But the best quarterback in the league should be demanding perfection, any quarterback in the league. But if you are the best of the best, you should be demanding perfection out of everybody on the field. So I actually like seeing that, and especially these young guys. Like, I think that's part of the problem last year is why things fell apart, is not having like that quarterback leader that the whole team could look to and kind of be like, we need to like get things together. And things kind of fell apart. But now we have that, which was cool.
Yeah, definitely. I like seeing the negative side of things. Like, I feel like with one, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, but sometimes one Jets drive, and I guess to agree with Hard Knocks, where it definitely, you can tell when certain sound bites were recorded and that they can just like put, like pick and choose where they place them and stuff like that. Where it's like, you know, in training camp, you know, late in training camp, things are starting to get hot and heated. And then like everything kind of works into that Rodgers sequence. But yeah, one Jets drive, we kind of only really ever get like the, you know, everything is golden. Everything is kind of like, you know, sunshine and daisies over at Loren Park. Hard Knocks, I'm really glad to see, like you said, Rodgers getting pissed, because we hear kind of like the stuff about players being like, yeah, you know, he's like a completely different person when he's playing. Like, he's a nice guy, like off the field. Like, I love hanging out with him, love talking to him. But when he's on the field, yeah, he's demanding perfection. Like, he wants the best out of you, and he's going to get it no matter what. And that's exactly what we saw. And I mean, how many times have you watched a Jet game and see them get a false start penalty and be screaming at your TV or something like that? So it's good to see that the quarterback's doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And a guy like Rodgers is someone that the offense is going to listen to. So having that backup and being able to see that actually how that's all unfolding was awesome to see.
Yeah. I loved also, you know, like, not only did like he chew out his receivers and was upset about the wrong routes and whatnot, like he would, that I genuinely loved seeing him get really upset. But then the way that I guess I'm going to give Hard Knocks the benefit of the doubt, and that they didn't selectively edit this, and that sequence after was the next set of reps of him hitting all the passes.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because I really liked that juxtaposition. They were like, he was really like, things weren't going. Mm-hmm. Nothing was working. And some, you know what? Like, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Like you said, like you guys were saying, like, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, he demands perfection. It doesn't always go right. Even in practice, even when it's supposed to be going right every single time, you know? And I just loved seeing the offense bounce back, at least how they portrayed it. It was them bouncing back from that really bad set. And it's, I mean, the way they portrayed it, Rodgers was the catalyst, obviously.
Yeah.
So, and it was him getting pissed. And then we saw the other side of him, which is also a kind of recurring storyline we've talked about with him and Nathaniel Hackett, where Rodgers was basically on the sideline being like, this guy should be doing this. Like, I don't know all the terminology he uses because it's half of it's over my head, but was basically picking out the different receivers and saying, this guy should be running this route and this guy should be going underneath here. And then this guy goes there. And then he hits that throw that basically he was talking about to Garrett Wilson. And again, we don't know if that's exactly how it happened in that order.
Yeah.
But the way they made it look was very cool.
Yeah. He goes 17, step into my office. And then like that sequence started.
Yeah.
I love that.
And was that,
I love that.
Was it this week's episode when he was talking about, when Rodgers was talking about Garrett Wilson and the fact that he's like too fast and that he's like,
no, it was last one.
It was last one. Yeah. I mean, it's like, since we didn't get to talk about it, but just him being like, it's too fast. Like, I'll put the ball there. And he's already like 2 yards past it by the time the ball gets to that area. I'm like, see?
Yeah, he's So he puts it on the wrong shoulder, and that's the throw where he caught it and like moved it like as he was catching it, which was crazy.
That's amazing. I love that.
But that connection has been unbelievable. So we saw him kind of drawing up plays and a lot of Rodgers stuff there, but then it switched to the defensive line. We got some focus on the defensive line room. Showed them in the meeting room where they all have the like links and they all link it up to a big chain and they all have to kind of stand up and say, I'm not going to be the weakest link, which was a cool, I mean, a lot of that motivational stuff is like pretty like cheesy from an outside perspective, but like that stuff clearly works with athletes, like being able to like visualize stuff like that, like, and having that mentality. So that was cool. And then we got some more focus on the defensive line, where they were at Tanzel Smart's house, making a coochie. Solomon Thomas was making a carcucci board. They were doing a crawfish boil that looked very good. And so we got to see all those guys. Quinn Williams was there and all chopping it up. So that was cool.
Tanzel Smart's, where is he from? Louisiana, I think.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the South. Crawfish, but man, that accent was coming out. And he was just like, my grandmama's crawfish recipe. I was like, oh, shit. Let's go.
Crawfish is amazing. You can get like 2 pounds of crawfish on a plate and you'll still be hungry at the end of it.
Yeah. It's like eating shrimp.
Yeah.
It's like you get nothing, but you can just eat 1,000 of them.
And who was it? Tanzel Smart wearing the Carcucci board shirt?
Yeah.
He was wearing his merch. I love that.
Yeah.
Was that
amazing?
Did he make that or because Solomon Thomas was there?
Thomas made the board. I thought it looks good.
It did look good.
He put like the salami in the cup and made it into like a rose or whatever. Yeah, like a little design.
That was impressive. He took Solomon
Thomas.
Solomon Thomas
guy.
Took a charcuterie class for sure.
Yes. Well, big theater guy.
Yeah, and he's like the leader of
him,
the
Rodgers,
guys.
Uzama, like they're all big theater guys. So
yeah, he's a classy guy.
Yeah, obviously, if you're a theater guy, you're a classy guy, or cultured guy. So obviously, you know, make a carcucci board.
A carcucci board. Yeah, a man of culture can make a carcucci board.
Wasn't Solomon Thomas a top 10 pick?
Was he?
I don't know. That was a long time ago.
He was a first round pick for the 49ers. I almost positive it was a top 10 pick. Was it Stanford?
Yeah,
third
overall.
Third overall out of where?
Stanford.
Stanford. Yeah.
Yeah, he was with the Niners, then he was at the Raiders, and then he came here last year.
Yep.
I mean, he's only 28. I actually thought he was a couple years older than that.
So did I.
Yeah, same.
I mean, I guess for being in the league for 5 years, 28 is like, I don't know.
A while.
Yeah. I mean, that makes me happy. If it means he's younger and fresher than I thought he was.
His Wikipedia has him listed as 6'2", 256, and I'm pretty sure at least 50 pounds of those are in his arms.
He's massive.
His arms are like the size of Volkswagen.
He's got some cannons.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And then after the defensive line stuff, it switched over to what you referenced earlier, which was the Jason Brownlee and Xavier Gibson thing. That at like the Senior Bowl, I guess it was.
It was like the Players Association
or. Yeah, one of those things.
Games? I don't know.
Yeah, one of the things college guys go to that are getting ready for the draft. And a lot of the times those things try to highlight guys from, like, smaller schools that don't have, like, big pro days and stuff, which both of those guys are. And I guess they became friends there and then both ended up getting signed by the Jets. So that kind of worked. And like you said earlier, Jesse, I didn't realize that they had known each other or anything before that. So all that stuff was cool to see. And I mean, we can talk about it, like, spoiler alert, they both have made the team, which is very cool. We wanted them both to make the team. I think Xavier Gibson really established himself as, like, the punt returner for the team. Like, he had great punt returns in the preseason. So that kind of established his spot on the roster. And then we can also talk about this a little bit. Corey Davis retiring. Is possibly what opened up that roster spot for Jason Brownlee, which I'm very happy about because, I mean, I think he has boatloads of potential.
Yeah, I like Jason Brownlee a lot. And Xavier Gibson, you hit the nail on the head. He looked shifty in the return game, you know, and that's exactly what you want. I think there was a line with Sala at one point where there was a flashback during this episode to the previous game where he was like, next one, I'm taking it. Next one, I'm taking it. Because he like got tripped up out of bounds after like taking it like to the 40 or something.
Yeah.
He's been impressive. And then, I mean, I'm obviously going to root for a Southern Miss guy, Jason Brownlee.
Clearly.
He's got my support from the get-go. So I'm absolutely I'm overjoyed that he made the team. And it's definitely because Corey Davis retired. I think that that's pretty apparent that that extra wide receiver spot was opened up and he got that.
Right. Or quote unquote, whatever. I mean, Corey Davis, that situation. I mean, I don't know if it was on One Jets Drive or Hard Knocks when Salah told, like, kind of addressed the team about it. Oh, but he was just, yeah, but he was just like, you know, the door's open for him to come back whenever, if he ever wants to reach out to him, show him some love or something like that. I think there's definitely, not to speculate, I hate doing that with players, but yeah, something just makes me think that this wasn't entirely a decision he like fully wanted to make, it doesn't sound like, or something at least is going on that kind of precipitated like this decision, because he's still like, I don't know,
28.
Yeah, he's not, yeah, exactly. He's not like an older guy. So, but anyway, I mean, like you said, yeah, it's exciting to see both those kind of young guys make the team
I was going to say, was he the same draft as Solomon Thomas?
Corey Davis?
Yeah.
Could have been. They're not the same.
But yeah, I mean, because it did start with him being away from practice for a couple days with it being just like personal reasons why he was away, which you think maybe death in the family or something like that.
It's usually when a guy steps
away. It could be a million different things. And then it turned into, oh, he might not be coming back at all, to, oh, he's probably going to get cut, to then he's deciding to retire. So, it's a very strange situation. And like you said, we don't want to try to guess what happened. But hopefully everything's okay with him and his family and everything. And long term, everything's okay. And, yeah, maybe it's a weird situation where maybe halfway through the year, whatever's going on with him or whatever, he's like, you know what, I want to come back, and through an injury or whatever, there's a roster spot open and maybe he comes back. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Jesse, answer your question. He was same draft. He's picked fifth. Yeah. Right after Solomon Thomas. Or yeah, two,
I mean,
picks.
Probably, when you said Solomon Thomas was 28, I figured it was a good shot they'd be in the same draft.
For sure.
Wow, two former top five picks. We had no idea.
Pretty nice. And one other cool thing with Xavier Gibson, just before we move on, is we saw like Randall Cobb talking about him, and Randall Cobb talking about how like he sees things in him that are like, he thinks he has tons of potential. And Randall Cobb had basically talked to Aaron Rodgers about it and been like, I know what this guy has. Like, I'm going to try to make sure. And it basically is something I actually like to see, because it's like, oh, this guy is like nowhere near as good as he could potentially be. Like, he clearly has like a lot still to learn, probably about like the mental side of the game is what it seems like. It seems like he's just like not quite consistent enough, like with his routes and stuff that just comes with practice and repetition and putting in work. So like, that's something. You can't teach like becoming as ridiculously fast and agile as he is. You can teach guys how to, or you can work at like perfecting that like route running type stuff. So,
Can't teach speed,
which he seems to have a ridiculous amount of. So, we got one of the best moments, in Hard Knocks history, in my opinion, which is the Robert Sala Sopranos drive into MetLife Stadium with the Tony Soprano drive. And it was, when the music started, I was like, what is about to happen? And I was like confused. I was like, did my Max app just like glitch and go into the Sopranos somehow into a new episode? And
I was like kind of falling asleep, and then that hit.
It's like
jolted me awake. I was like, wait, what?
What is happening right now? That was just like, I think the only thing that would have made it better is if they just, I don't even know if tolls in New Jersey even give tickets anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If they just like called up NJ Transit, or just like, hey, can we just have a toll that gives a ticket for just It's just one sequence, just so you can grab it like this, like Tony Soprano does, like so triumphantly in the intro to Sopranos.
That'd have been awesome. Wow. Yeah, it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. Well done, HBO. Well
yes.
done.
Well
like,
done.
And they're the only ones who can pull it off. They have like the rights to it and everything. Mm-hmm. Like they definitely had to like be like, they definitely had to call up like fucking Zaslav or something and be like, hey, can we use this?
I mean, it's like if you ever want to win over a production or win over a fan base that was like unsure about wanting to have Hard Knocks, you just did it right there. Like,
and a drive. That one was for us.
That Gandolfini is a Jets fan. Like, it's just perfect.
And I saw Michael Gandolfini, I think, tweeted about it or posted about it or something like that. It was just
that makes me happy.
A thumbs up or like the salute thing, because he obviously was in some of the pictures of his dad at some of the Jet games and stuff. And so that was good to see.
Yeah, so it was unbelievable from a production perspective. And then we got the actual game, which was awesome. Jets-Giants is always good. Like we were saying, obviously the big moment from the game, both on Hard Knocks and on social media and everything, is Aaron Rodgers on that drive where we end up getting the touchdown pass. Jihad Ward, who's a defensive lineman for the Giants, takes a couple extra steps and gives Aaron Rodgers a shove, which Rodgers doesn't like, and he kind of goes back at him and is like, that's bullshit. Like, you know that's bullshit. Like, don't do that, basically, which I think is fair.
Yeah.
And then the Ward wanted to argue with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers delivered probably, like he ends up saying later on, it's uncomebackable. Like one of the coldest lines you can say to somebody. He just said, I don't even know who you are.
Kill shot.
Hit him with Kill the shot. Thanos. Like, I don't even know who you are, bro. Like,
yeah, it's the Thanos. It's the Mad Men meme where I feel bad for you. And he said, I don't think about you at all. it's like the most brutal thing you can say to somebody is like, you don't even exist in my brain. Like, you're completely irrelevant.
The worst part about it is, like, Ward came out today and was like, yeah, you know, like, we took it, like, I was just defending my boy. Like, they were laughing about that hit that Randall Cobb delivered. They were laughing at Randall Cobb. They were like, dude, you just lost your training camp money. Like, there's video of it. We watched it. We listened. Everybody saw it. And, like, everyone was making fun of Randall Cobb. They weren't laughing at the guy that he hurt. They weren't like, oh, we hurt him. Like, that's not a thing that NFL players do. So he's just, like, making something up in his head to, like, I guess motivate himself.
Clearly, he probably just saw the clips and watched Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Like, he realized that he looked like a dumbass. Yeah. And that he looked like he got completely embarrassed by Aaron Rodgers on national TV.
He's like, our side of the story wasn't told. Like, we don't need your side of the story. We watched it happen. Yeah. Like,
and that's not the point. Hard Knocks, that's not the point, is to tell the other team's side of the story.
Yeah.
It's one team's focus. Yes, we understand the Cobb hit was a bad hit. It's something you can't do anymore. But that's why Cobb caught shit from Rodgers in the huddle. It's like, dude, you can't do that anymore. It's not 2014.
Also,
that's just seeing Cobb's wife and his kid in the audience too. And she's just like, well, yes, that's a check. That's a fine coming in the mail now.
Yeah, she knew. She's got enough experience to know when it's a fine, when it's not. Yeah.
Also, and, like, Jihad Ward, like, this game happened last weekend. Like, you got the regular season to worry about now. Like, you should. This does not matter.
Yeah.
All right. And just keep your head down and work. You know,
there's
and,
just
like,
no,
ignore this.
There's just no way. There's just no way he could have thought in the moment is like, oh, they're laughing at my guy. It's like, no, they're not laughing.
he said also, I don't know who you are.
And yeah.
It was like bull. Like,
was he on the Giants last year, Jihad Ward?
Yeah.
So I wonder if he was on the field when the thing with Thibodeau and Nick Foles happened.
Yeah, someone replied to that video with that clip of Kayvon Thibodeau doing that. And
so I was like, are you same situation? Like, you cool with that? Like Nick Foles was literally like on the ground, like having like a seizure next to Thibodeau doing
Yeah.
snow angels. It's like, so don't give me that. Like,
Yeah.
don't
No,
give me that.
I think he realized that he looked bad, so he just had to come up with some kind of excuse. But the only way he could have seen that is if he watched the show.
Right.
And if you watch the show, then you see the exact context of what happened. But I thought the best part is after that happens, Aaron Rodgers goes down the field, throws that touchdown pass that we were talking about that's so unbelievable. And after he throws the touchdown pass, he goes back at Jahan Ward and goes, "Don't poke the fucking bear." And
Yes.
it's just unbelievable that in a this guy is so obscenely competitive. He's been in the NFL for 15 plus years. He is playing in a preseason game, and he just locks into that mode where he's going up to like a third string defensive lineman and telling him, "Don't poke the fucking bear." And I legitimately believe that he would not have thrown that touchdown pass if that wouldn't have happened. If he wouldn't have like been like, "This guy fucking saying he doesn't know who I am. I'm about to show you who I am."
I love that.
It's literally,
you know,
Jordan.
Thank you,
I took
Jahan
that
Ward.
personally. It's like, I took that personally. Like, it's literally that. So he's like, "I'm gonna go out there." And, you know, he probably walked up to Salah afterwards. He was like, "I'm going back out there. I got something to do. I got something to take care of. So I'm going back out there for another drive." And Salah's like, "Sure, whatever, man." Like,
the greats, like, you know, Michael Jordan's famously like would like make things up about his opponents in his head to motivate himself. And all the greats do something along those lines. You know, I'm sure Tom Brady had like we know Tom Brady found every single little individual slight as like the most, he took it more personally than anything you like any normal person would, and used it to motivate himself. And Aaron Rodgers is clearly the same way. You know, he's going to use anything he can to give himself that edge. That's what Hall of Famers do.
You just got to find whatever you can. I mean, it's what made Kirby Smart one of the best coaches in college football is not anything to do with football, but the fact that he managed to take his team that had just won the national championship the year before, returned a lot of players from that team that also had the number one recruiting class, and somehow convinced him that they were the most doubted underdog team in America. And so they all had this mentality where they would go into these interviews and be like, "Yeah, nobody expected us to do this." And everybody's like, "You guys won the national." Like, the players were so convinced that they were like the underdogs in every situation. And they went on to win a second national championship. So if you can just like get something in these guys' brains that's like, here's extra motivation for what you need to do, it just like something clicks where they just go into a different mode and they're like, "Okay, I'll prove it. I'll prove it right now."
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I love about the alpha elite athletes, like all those guys, the killers.
Yeah.
They do that. And it's just, those are the best stories, man. Those are the best stories for sure.
Now we just gotta hope he's doing the same thing come February.
Well, I mean, we all know he's got more he's more motivated than he's been in years. Like,
yes,
I mean,
that's for sure.
First time he's been to OTAs in 3, 4, 5 years. First time he's played in a preseason game since 2018. Like,
I think they said the last time he played in a preseason game, Zach Wilson was a freshman in college.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what they said. I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, he's shown up. He has fully embraced it. And at this point, like, we've gotten to see him play. Like, it's real, guys. It's here. In 2 weeks on 9/11, he's going to be suiting up and he's going to face Buffalo. And it's going to be like, we're going to be 1-0 or 0-1.
Whole teams get healthy at the right time.
Yeah,
like
it's officially arrived. So like,
it's all coming together.
Yeah, it's here, man. I'm very excited. Very excited.
Yeah. So the sad part of the game that was tough to watch was the Tanzel Smart injury, where clearly he hurt his shoulder and was slow to get up to the point that they blew the whistle. But then he wanted to stay back out there, and then they made him come over and look at the injury, and he clearly got emotional to the point that he was crying on the sideline, not because of pain, but in his head being like, "I really don't think I'm going to be able to get back out there. And if I don't get back out there and do something, I'm probably going to get cut from this team." And Jeff Ulbrich comes over and is like, "Are you good? Like, what's going on?" And he's like, or it was maybe the defensive line coach, one of them. came over and was like, is everything good? And he's like, what are the emotions for? Which made it seem like, yeah, he's obviously like crying or like looking very emotional. And he was like, I need to play in this game, man. Like, I need to be in there. And it's like, oh, like, it's just, it was brutal, especially knowing the end result that he does get cut and luckily has been signed back to the practice squad. So he's at least there. Hopefully we'll be ready to get in if we need somebody to fill a roster spot. But that part got to me.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll play a snap at least at some point this season. And I'm really happy that he got that. The news that he got cut, like, that made it a lot worse to watch. And then exactly what you said, like, hearing today, that made me feel a lot better that he's going to be around and he'll be at the facility and he's going to be, you know, part of an organization. Like I've mentioned this a couple of times in all the episodes, but my favorite part is like getting to know them, like personally, like the players, the stories that they tell. And they focused on Tanzel Smart because they didn't really, like, with the limited access that the Jets allowed, they didn't really do a lot on the undrafted free agents and the younger guys until this week, where they saw, who's the wide receiver or tight end that did the
Jerome Cap.
And they had something with him this week, which we haven't gotten to, but, and then Jason Brownlee and Xavier Gibson, like, we finally got to them this week. Right. And normally, like, you get to know them a little bit more throughout the whole season. They follow them through the whole season. But obviously the access didn't allow that this year. And, you know, that's been a little disappointing, but it's good that we got it this episode at least, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it was like, it hurts. Like, at least Tanzel Smart, like, both were saying, they're back in the practice squad and everything. But, you know, last night watching it, not knowing that he was coming back in the practice squad yet. And it's like, on top of the whole sequence during the game, and then they kept going back and showing his wife and his kid, like, in the audience watching him and seeing her reaction to her kind of realizing that he was hurt too. Also, it was just like, you know, deep down, like, this sucks watching this, like, play out. Like, this really sucks. And same thing with Cap. You know, you kind of, like, you know, he had pretty much, outside of anything Aaron Rodgers related, had the best moment of Hard Knocks with that whole sequence. And, you know, got the shout out from Eminem and everything like that. So
yeah, Eminem posted the video.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was awesome. And you're
never going away.
I'm sure you guys have seen 8 Mile as many times as I have, so I know, like, that whole thing, whole sequence. Yeah. Hearing Cap talk about when Complex posted the video, and everyone in the comments is like, this dude's so offbeat. This dude stinks at it. He's just so offbeat. Like, he's like, I can't win.
He's like, I'm not a rapper.
He's like, I'm not a rapper. Really? I don't know what you want from me.
But I'm not a rapper.
Super hot.
Exactly.
But it was funny, you know, not funny watching him, because he found out, he finds out in the episode or that he got cut, but we already kind of knew, I think, going into the episode, so that he had been cut. So I guess he must have found out Monday.
I guess. Probably.
So,
watching that, because we already knew the cut when we were watching the episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, having to watch like the crawfish boil at Tanzel Smart's house, like, it's not even football related. It's just thinking about, like, oh, he's like clearly like gets along so well with these guys.
Yeah.
Him and his wife and his kids seem so happy. Thinking about them having to like move to a different city. And like, that's the part that like gets to you, which is why that like off the field. Cause when you're just like, oh, he's going to play football somewhere else, like, no big deal. But then you see him cooking in his house with his family, like with the guys on the team. And you're like, oh my God, it'd be devastating if this guy had to like move across the country and just like start fresh, basically.
Right.
Yeah. It humanizes them. You know, these are people, they have lives. You know, this isn't just a game. This is a paycheck. They need to be able to afford to live. So like, knowing that news, it was gut wrenching seeing that. And that's why today's news of him getting signed to the practice squad is just that much sweeter. He's going to get a paycheck and he'll be a contributor to the team. And yeah, I mean, he's been around for like 3-4 years now at this point, on and off the practice squad. So yeah, he does know those guys a lot.
Knows the coaches, knows everything.
Exactly. And so he's been with this organization during this come up. And I'm glad that he's going to be able to, you know, potentially reap the benefits of that.
Yeah. Cap wasn't so lucky, but you see, like, also, I mean, him talking about the sacrifices that his family's made, and it's like my siblings and, you know, whoever is like driving me places to go to games and practices. And they show the picture of him with all his family, and they're all decked out in Jets gear. I'm like, oh, God.
He had a hell of a run, man. I mean, he tried out for the team, I'm pretty sure. It was Division II.
Yeah, I think he was undrafted, and I think he just got the call for to come to minicamp for like tryouts and stuff.
Yeah, and he made it, and he made it all the way to cuts. And I mean, that's the reality of the NFL, man. It's a business, and like I said, these are the stories that they get to tell. And it's an unfortunate reality, but it's part of the business, and we watched it firsthand.
Yeah, and that's so we knew going into Hard Knocks we weren't going to see any cuts, which I totally understood. Like, that's such a brutal thing to have, like, cameras on you, like, as you're getting like the worst news you could possibly get, and it is pretty brutal. So I totally got why the Jets were like, we're not going to show anybody getting cut, but we like halfway saw Cap get cut. Like, we saw him with no audio, like in the facility, walking out of the facility with like a big trash bag full of stuff and like getting in his car. So we like halfway got a cut moment, which is probably the only one we're going to get. But that was, I mean, it's brutal to see. And with those two guys that they kind of had you rooting for through different storylines, and both get cut. One made it to the practice squad. But there was one quote I wrote down from Tanzel Smart, which is during that scene we were talking about when he gets hurt, and then he comes back into the game for a little bit. And then it's like he's standing out on the sideline next to like Quinnen Williams and like JFM and a couple guys on the defensive line. And it was the most like simple line, but it just like hit me. He was like, I deserve to be out there with you guys. Like, I deserve to be there with y'all. And I was just like, damn, like like we were saying, he's been there for 3 or 4 years, like on and off the practice squad. Like, he's gotten to know these guys really well. And like, he's had a great training camp and a great preseason. And he's just looking at these guys, and in his mind, he's like, I deserve to be like a part of this group. Like, I know I deserve it, which is like so brutal to then still be told like, nah, man, sorry, you don't. And then I guess practice squad, to an extent, you are still a part of the group. You'll be in meeting rooms and stuff as a member of the practice squad. But that line ripped me apart a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was tough.
But so that was kind of the whole episode. It ended with the Jerome Cap getting cut and walking out to his car. And one Jets drive. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I just say, I don't think we mentioned it, but Nathaniel Hackett is a lunatic.
Yeah, we got more gold member content.
Yeah, like he's just a crazy. He's just a crazy guy.
Yeah,
I totally understand the gold zone and the mantra behind it and the reasoning behind it, but like, he goes above and beyond and like themes it off of gold member. And like, you just think they pan to Rodgers and he's like just cracking up at like how ridiculous his buddy's being. And like, it's like, I don't understand how Hackett got portrayed the way he did in Denver, if this is what he's actually like. Like, that must have been Russell Wilson like mafioso hit job, blaming Hackett for all the problems, when in reality it was Russ, and the Broncos will be a dumpster fire this year. Is what I'm hoping.
I hope so.
Yeah. I think it's probably just a case of a guy is built to be a coordinator and not a head coach. I mean, like, it's
Odd for bold. Sure is a, it for sure is a thing. I mean, I can see how if things are not going well and you're like 2-6 and he's doing the gold member jokes, you're like, come on, like, we need somebody to fucking like get everybody like fired up, not be like the fun coordinator. It's like, it's kind of like being an uncle. Like, you can be the fun uncle who's like, let's watch Goldmember. Don't tell your parents we're watching Goldmember. Yeah. When you're like 11 years old and you aren't supposed to be watching it. And it's like, you can be Nathaniel Hackett can be the fun uncle who can hang out with Aaron Rodgers and call the offense. But some guys, when they get that number one leadership role, it just like doesn't fit their personality.
Right.
Very possible. Either, even so, I did not know that Nathaniel Hackett was remotely like this. I thought that he was like some, like I would like when I heard for the first time that Aaron Rodgers loved Nathaniel Hackett like a brother and that they were super close, after everything that we heard about him and from Denver last year, I was like, what am I missing? You know, like what, like I heard this guy was like a bum, like this guy stunk and the whole locker room hated him and blah, 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 blah. Like Hackett this, Hackett that, he's the worst head coach ever. And I mean, this guy helped Rodgers win two MVPs, and like we see the video and they're just like shooting the shit. He seems like the goofiest motherfucker. Right. And like, it's very interesting how he was portrayed as like the main villain last year, when there was a lot, clearly like a lot more was going on than just him. He was definitely a problem. And yeah, like you said, Blake, not everybody's built to be a head coach. Right. But it definitely feels like something's a little off with that, with how fun he seems.
Yeah. I get things not going well, like football wise, but yeah, everything of it's like, oh, everybody hates him. It's like, I don't get how that would be possible at all. And yeah, based on everything, I knew nothing about him other than like his name and his job. Like I didn't know anything about his personality before this. And so based on, I expected him to kind of be like Todd Bowles. I expected him to be like really serious and really like football, like whatever, like this is what we're going to do. It's time for the game. Like not motivate. I was like, just like a total like bore. Like,
he was like, when you score, like, I don't want anybody celebrating by themselves. He was like, was it Zonovan or Izzy? One of the two. I think it was Izzy.
Izzy.
Was like, Izzy, like, you're running away from the group when they're all celebrating. He was like calling him out in front of the whole team, the whole offense.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I like that mentality of you win as a team, you lose as a team. And when you win, you celebrate together. When you lose together. That's a team building itself. It's not just like the actual building blocks of the team, like a GM and team building are usually like terms that are associated with each other, right? Chemistries and styles that fit, right? But team building itself, like the actual exercise of like becoming a group and like bonding, is something that's important in any endeavor, really, if you're going to work in a group. And it seems like he actually like wants that. And a lot of coaches are like drill sergeants. And it's just a kind of a nice change of pace to see, like, he can be serious. We've seen that. But he can also, like, he also is, like, this fun guy who's, like, making the game fun for, admittedly, a young team who seems like they need that.
Right.
Yeah. So in One Jet's Drive, there are a couple things that we don't really get too much in Hard Knocks we can touch on really quick. But like we said, I think the One Jet's Drive kind of production staff has basically like been cool, like stepping to the side and just being like, we're gonna let Hard Knocks have all the good moments, like it's only for 5 weeks and then we're gonna do the rest of the season, so like we'll let them have this and we'll just use like some highlights and like a couple little moments. But we do get a cool interview at the beginning with Bob Wischusen, who, if you're a local New York, New Jersey Jets fan, then you grew up listening to Bob Wischusen on the radio. I love when Bob Wischusen calls a college football game. I always will put on the audio for that game because his voice just like makes me think football. Like it's just what I associate with football when it comes to a voice. Unbelievable. So seeing him talk a little bit about this team and like the excitement with this year's team was the one moment that I thought was cool from One Jets Drive this week.
Bob's a good guy. He's a nice guy. I've had the pleasure of like getting to interview him and meet him. And that was definitely the highlight of One Jets Drive for me too. Just seeing his take on it, on the season, everything that's really gone down. I mean, he's the voice of the Jets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, getting his opinion, I think is worthwhile. And that you can't say that about everybody out there. So that was really great getting to see that. And then like, you know, other than Bob, you know, it's just kind of like a highlight reel of the game. Like there was a lot of game footage this week. I think that you hit the nail on the head. It's they've kind of taken a back seat. That's a good way of putting it. You know, I totally agree. They're kind of letting Hard Knocks have the best shots. And I respect that, you know, You make a good point. They're going to have the rest of the season.
Exactly. They're going to have plenty of moments themselves, probably more memorable moments they're going to get than Hard Knocks would have, obviously, you know, because they're going to get the regular season. And and as always, shout out our guy Bob. I mean, he's got, like, I was thinking about it, like, when they played the audio of the Garrett Wilson touchdown, he has that, like, he says it really quickly sometimes, like, and that's a jet touchdown. Like, he says it like that, kind of, like, super quick. And it kind of reminds me of Gary Cohen sometimes calling the Mets when he has his little kind of, like, phrases that are always like, forget that. That one's way out of here. Like, those certain, kind of turns of phrase that are, you know, that the announcers always seem to use a lot. And in between Bob Beschreuzen and calling, like, a crazy touchdown, like, losing his breath halfway through, that's a jet touchdown always gets me a lot. But anytime you get any of his, you know, insight on the Jets, like you were saying, he's the voice of the Jets, him and Marty Lyons. So, you know, you love hearing. Also, again, I'm not trying to take a slight at the Giants, but it's like comparing the Mets and Yankees announcers, Bob Beschreuzen and Marty Lyons, compared to Bob Papa and
Carl Banks.
I mean, just
night and day, man.
It's night and day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying Marty Lyons is, like, the most, like, you know, amazing announcer either, but, like, Carl Banks is just, like, so dry, and so is Bob Papa, for that matter. I mean,
it's not fair. Like, it's not a fair fight there. Like, Bob's, like, calling, like, conference finals, like hockey games. And like doing like major college football games. Like, he's going to Happy Valley and like doing like Sunday night game, like Saturday night games or whatever.
Yeah.
Bob Papa's not doing that stuff. Bob Papa is strictly just the Giants radio. Yeah. And Bob Papa's like, all right, Bob Papa's fine. I like Bob Papa, but Bob Beschreuzen is just on another level. He's like, he's the real deal.
Without question. Yeah. I mean, is he only called Penn State games, or is he like
I know that Bob's called Penn State games. He doesn't do night games per se. That's Fowler, but he does
ESPN.
Yeah, big afternoon college football games.
He does a lot of Big Ten though. He does a lot because he does like usually the noon, like a noon game on ESPN, like whatever the. It's usually a big Big Ten game, but.
Yeah, so he always
Purdue,
has a very
Iowa or something. You know,
he always has a very busy
Beth Mowins season. Will get Illinois versus Northwestern, and both games will end 9-7.
He's got to have a real love for it, because I do not envy those weekends in the fall. It's like, I got to be at a game. Oh, now the Big Ten is like across the country. I hope they're not going to be sending him to like freaking California.
Yeah, like a USC game.
I'm expecting him to be at a Jet game the next day.
I would not mind Bob Beschreuzen calling a Penn State USC game.
I mean, it would be bad.
Just saying.
I'm sure you wouldn't mind, yeah.
By the way, a couple of my friends are going to Penn State, West Virginia this weekend. Should I expect the Penn State trouncing? Because they keep telling me that that's what's about to happen. So,
yeah.
Blake's the expert, but yes, I can concur. I will concur with that assessment that it'll be a trouncing.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. They're 21 point favorites. West Virginia's got a pretty bad team, and Penn State has a very good team. So
and I think part of that reason that it's only 21 points is because people are unsure who's playing quarterback for Penn State for the majority of the game.
True. Yeah. I have no idea who it'll be either.
Franklin hasn't released a depth chart yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is like becoming a trend. I saw Saban isn't. We're getting way off topic here. No one cares about our college football.
And now we're
going to
college football. So
we don't need to talk about Drew Aller for like 3 more years until he's in the NFL draft, and we're drafting Drew Aller to be our next starting quarterback after Aaron Rodgers retires.
From your lips to God's ears.
We'll worry
years.
About it. Drafting Heisman winner Drew Aller would be an honor for the Jets to do that.
Damn right.
National champion and Heisman winner Drew Aller.
Stop it.
Listen, I'm just saying, the last time the Jets took a quarterback from Penn State.
Things didn't go well.
I remember where I was and who I was with.
So do I. I remember where I was too.
I was at Comm Radio in State College, and everybody just turned to me and was like looking at me, waiting for me to respond to Hackenberg going, and I was just standing there like so silent. I just threw my stack of papers on the ground and ran out of the room. I was so mad. One of my friends at that moment stopped being a Jets fan. He just gave up. He was just like, I'm done. I can't.
I'm sure that he was not alone that night. Like McTagnan probably.
He broke quite a few of us. I fortunately survived, and I'm.
Well, yeah, those people. Those a good way to wrap up this episode is those people that quit on us back in the hack days are not welcome at the parade in February. We will be there, luckily.
Damn right.
Mm-hmm. We have one more episode of Hard Knocks next week, so hopefully all of our schedules will work out where we can get an episode out on that to kind of wrap up Hard Knocks, and then next Monday we'll be playing NFL football,
playing for real, keeps.
We'll have our Jet stream going each week to recap the games and preview the following week. So
we'll have Blake on as much as you want to come on, my friend.
Awesome. Yeah, this will be the end of the road of us as an official trio. But I would love to come on some Jet streams throughout the season. And yeah, so make sure you're subscribed there to the Jet stream for all that stuff. And wherever, if you're watching this on YouTube, Blakey Locks on YouTube and whatever. Yeah, thanks for listening. We got one more episode next week. See you then.
Peace.